All right, you said that God gave you a promise and you were going to get it. Isn't that what the song said? All right, now, we prayed for somebody. We prayed, took it to the court and everything else, and God said everything was fine, but it didn't turn out fine. And I was devastated over it that it didn't turn out fine. And finally this morning about 3 o'clock, I said to God, I said, God, why did they not get what you said they were going to get? He said, because they sabotaged their own miracle. You hear that? They sabotaged their own miracle. So if God has told you that you're going to get something and it doesn't come to pass, it's because you sabotaged your own miracle. And then he went on to tell me it's because of the unbelief. There's a little bit of unbelief, one total faith. You know, when it looks like the absolute impossible, like nothing in the world can change anything, that's when your faith has really got to kick in and really has to be working really super strong. It doesn't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter what people say. It matters what God said. And if he said he can do it, he's going to do it, then he's going to do it. And we have to stand on what the Father said and quit allowing circumstances around us make us lose our faith. And we have to remember something else too. We're not God. And when we try to build something ourselves, it does not last. Are you listening? So all of you in the ministry here this morning, if God has called you to build a ministry, then it's going to last. If he hasn't, then you're going to struggle and it might even fall. But whenever, if God calls you to build something, the enemy's going to fight you. He's going to fight you every step of the way. And that's how you know it's God calling you to do something, because the enemy's trying to make you believe he didn't, and he's fighting you, trying to make you stop. Are you listening here? So if you're being fought, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that God has called you to do this thing, and whatever he told you it was going to accomplish, it is going to accomplish. Now, that's a fact. I've lived that for years now. That is a fact. I've watched other people, and that is a fact. But when you start building it on your own foundation, eventually it's going to crumble. It might go good for a year or two, but eventually the thing's going to crumble. All right? I want you to really get this in your spirit this morning. Because God told me to tell, I said, what am I going to teach on? He said, the body must become real. And see, what I'm telling you this morning is real. And the problem is too many people out there are telling you things that aren't real. And you yourself are allowing the enemy to speak things into your spirit that are not real. And so we have to become real with God and with ourselves. All right. So when God tells me that the body must become real, the first thing, I don't think I prayed, have I? Got all excited here. Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you. I look around and I see these faces. I see hunger and thirst within them, Father. And I'm asking you to feed them fresh manna from heaven this morning. And Father, let them leave here this morning refreshed and renewed, ready to face the enemy on all sides and to win. And Father, I thank you that their ears are open wide this morning to hear what thus saith the Lord. That their spirit man, Father God, is receiving everything that they're hearing. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So when God tells me that the body must become real, the first thing I think of is unity. Without unity, you are going to fall. It's not going to last. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for just as a body is one and has many members, in other words, all of us in here are many members, but we're one, all right? And all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So here we all sat this morning, and I really feel in my heart that you were all in unity for praise and worship. And because you were all in unity for praise and worship, the glory of God came and filled you full of the joy, praise, and worship. And in John 3:3, when Jesus talks about being come real, he calls it being born again. I went to church all my life as a little baby. My grandmother, when I was 2 months old, started me in church. And I went to church every time the doors were open all my life. But when I be at 1970 something, 77 or something it was, I became born again. And it was at that point that I was truly saved. It was at that point that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Before, I just went to church. I didn't really read my Bible for myself. I'd listen to the pastor, you know, and I believed everything he told me. But then after I was born again, then the Holy Spirit started teaching me. I'd read my word and he would get into the word with me and he started teaching me the word. It was then that I became a true child of God. All right. And John 3:3 says, and Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So he said, everyone must be born of water and the Spirit. Everyone must be baptized, and when you're baptized, the Holy Spirit should come upon you. Every time we was in the service, and every time we moved, I went to a different church. I had to get baptized in that church, but I was never filled with the Spirit. It wasn't until I became born again and went into a born-again church and was baptized that then I was filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, so if you're going to be baptized, then make sure you go to where somebody is filled with the Spirit and have them baptize you so that whenever they baptize you, they will pray for the anointing of God to fall upon you, and you will be filled with the Spirit. All right? Now, if the body of believers are to become real, they need to understand that the very heart of the Christian faith revolves around change. God has been trying to get the body of Christ to change. But it is not turning over a new leaf. It is living out a new life. All right, you have to change. You have to change the way you think, the way you live, everything. So it's not about turning over a new leaf. It is living out a new life. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come." So if you're born again, then old things must pass away and you have to be filled with new things. Now, not everybody, all right, so if you were baptized, you were filled with the Spirit, but then you didn't allow God to do changes in you, and next thing you know, you're backsliding. That doesn't mean that you have to go get baptized all over again. It means you just have to repent and tell God you're sorry and then start allowing him to change you and make you afresh and anew. All right, because you could keep getting baptized till you drowned, get waterlogged. What you have to do is repent. Now, in the Old Testament, we see how this cycle played out in the life of Solomon. He tried to change through human ingenuity when he needed divine intervention. See, this is what we try to do. We try to change ourselves. And Solomon was the smartest person ever, according to the Word. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 12 says, this is Solomon speaking, "I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this, too, is a chasing after the wind, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow, the more knowledge, the more grief. In other words, he said he got wisdom from God, but then he went wild for a little bit, and he did all kind of worldly things. Then he came back to wisdom. All right? Real change. So in other words, some of you sitting here this morning have done the same thing. You got born again and serving God, and all of a sudden you went chasing after the wind, as he says, and you got out of God's will. But then you found out, hey, this is a wrong thing to be doing. So then you came back to God, repented, and started following God all over again. All right? This is what Solomon's talking about. Now, real change is a process, not a destination. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I am sure of this, that God who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So if he started the good works in you, he's not going to quit. He'll take you through the furnace of affliction. He'll take you to the woodshed over and over again. He'll do whatever he has to do to get you to your destination. And 2 Peter 1:4 says, by these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. God makes a way of escape. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled faces are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. We all with unveiled faces are reflecting. So wherever we go, we should be reflecting the glory of the Lord. People should see God on us. All right, to become real, we have to change. Change is letting go and grabbing hold. And 1 Peter 1:16 says, be holy as I am holy. This sounds like an impossible task. Its possibility comes by the work of God and not the work of man. You can't make yourself holy. You have to allow God to keep changing you from glory to glory. And when you realize you've done something you shouldn't do, the first thing you need to do is repent, tell God you're sorry, and he'll keep filling you full of glory. He'll take you from glory to glory. Please don't stop if you make a mistake. Keep going. There isn't a person in the body of Christ that won't make a mistake in their journey with God. Not one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 says, That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. In other words, whenever you're born again, you weren't taught to stay in the world. The Holy Spirit starts teaching you how to live a holy life. And verse 23 says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. All right, go back to verse 22. Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Quit doing what you used to do, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. You're corrupting your own self by your desires that are not of God. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, your mind should be changing, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We need to change. A lot of you in here right now, you are ministers of the gospel. You either have your own ministry or you have some sort of ministry out there in your job site, on the street or someplace. The things you're learning right now are the things you're going to be teaching the lost that are coming into the house of God. But if you yourself have not changed, and if you yourself are not living this lifestyle, there's no way you can convince anybody else to do that. I'm hearing God say you have to be a vessel of honor that he can work through in order to have people's lives changed. Now, here are some of the reasons that change is difficult for people. Number one, because we are stubborn. Number two, because we are trapped. Number three, because we are comfortable. And number four, because we are afraid. Number five, because change hurts. And number six, because we lack power. These are six things that will keep you from changing. And if you look at this list, some of you can say, yep, some of that's me. You know, don't blame it on somebody else. You're working out your own salvation. Well, Sister So-and-so wouldn't have said such and such, I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in. No, that's not true. You know, that's the old man speaking. And if changes come into your life, you'll just say, God, I just ask you to bless them and pray. I'll pray for them and that they'll see the truth or they'll come into the light, right? I was going to say I'll pray smack them on the head, but we don't want to do that, right? We've grown up. We've changed. We don't do that no more. Instead, we say bless them abundantly with a stick. But it doesn't change hurt. Because you've been doing something for, say, 15 years, and all of a sudden God said, nope, can't do that. And now this is a lifestyle you learned, and now you're going to have to unlearn that lifestyle. All right, let's just go this way. There's a lot of religious spirits in the house of God. And God is saying religion is out the window, and now it's spirit calling to spirit. But if you've been into religion, I'll say for 20 years, it's hard to break that and step over into the spirit realm. Because I watch people, and they know better, but they seem to go back to their old way of worshiping or speaking or whatever. So we have to, when we change, we have to keep that change. We can't keep losing that change. I see that happening a lot. This is another becoming real scripture in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Therefore, when we could no longer stand it, this is Paul speaking, we thought it was better to be left alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith. Why? So that no one will be shaken by these persecutions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. And let's stop there. This is Paul saying we're being persecuted so bad that we decided to stay here instead of coming there and letting you see us being persecuted. Then verse 4 says, in fact, when we were with you, we told you previously that we were going to suffer persecution. This is where the body of Christ has to become real, because you hear pastors say, no, we never have to suffer. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And Paul's, in fact, when we were with you, we told you previously that we were going to suffer persecution. And as you know, it happened. They were persecuted. When I was first born again, God said, daughter, there are some that are born for sorrow, and you're one of those. Guess what? He was true. You know, so why do we say it's not? Why do we say that's not? It's in the Bible even. And why do we deny that? It's because we have our head stuck in the sand and we don't want to admit that fallen Christ hurts. It hurts. And we don't want to hurt. Verse 5 says, Paul said, for this reason, when I could no longer stand it, I also sent him to find out, Timothy, to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you and that our labor might be for nothing. In other words, he was saying that he was afraid that they were losing their faith and all the persecution they were going through was for nothing. All right? I want to really encourage you guys. Yes, you are going to go through some bad times. Yes, you are. Because that's the way the enemy works. But God has promised you so much more than what the enemy can ever come against you with. And you just have to hold your head high and just put a smile on your face and just put a praise in your heart and just move on with God. All right? Do you think it didn't hurt Jesus knowing he had to go to that cross? The Bible said he was a man of many sorrows, didn't it? So why do you complain when sorrow comes your way? God's saying right now, when you have sorrow, you are fulfilling your destiny in him. All right, this is what God said. Children, you are in a very real battle for your lives. Reality must set in if you're going to keep winning these battles that are set before you. Life goes on, and life holds its trials and temptations each and every day. See, this is reality. This is the truth. There is no way you can escape this reality. What does my word tell you about your weapons of warfare? Does it not say they are not carnal but mighty to pulling down strongholds? And you can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. God goes on to say, why do you think that I had the Holy Spirit put that in your roadmap of instructions? It was not so you could say that sounds nice. It was placed there to lead, guide, and direct you each time a new trial or temptation came your way. God said, many do not pull on those weapons. They give in to the wiles of the evil one and then blame me when their lives do not turn out right. I am a just and true God, and I do not lie. When you read that I will fight for you, fight your battles for you, then I will. And in Deuteronomy 3:22 says, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. Then God said, but I also tell you that there are battles you must fight. Example, the battle of the mind. I cannot fight that battle. You must live in the realm of real and understand the reality of living here on this earth, but not being part of the worldly system of sin and degradation. Now, did you understand that? You want me to repeat what he said? But God said, but I also tell you that there are battles you must fight. An example, the battle of the mind. I cannot fight that battle. You must live in the realm of real and understand the reality of living here on this earth, but not being part of the worldly system of sin and degradation. God said, question, who is going to instruct the lost souls that will be running into the houses of true worship? If you are not living in reality, you are not fit to do so. God says, children, I have asked you to get your heads out of the sand and look up. I've asked you to quit walking around like chickens, pecking at the dirt and soar with the eagles. This day, I say, become real with yourself and find out where you are at in me. I ask you to understand spiritual things and let go of all carnal thinking, for I am not in the carnal. I dwell richly in the spiritual realm, and I have invited you many times to come up hither, and you keep pondering that invitation. There is a true reality and there is a fake reality that the enemy sends your way. Step out of the fake and step into the true, and then you will be able to come up hither. That's God still speaking. And God said, what was it that Paul said? In 2 Corinthians 12:2, Paul says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third, where was he caught up to? Third heaven. Where's God been telling us to come to? Third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. So that's what Paul said. Paul said that God caught him up into the third heaven. He's been inviting us into the third heaven, but have you gone? Only you know that. Then God said, my word is full of reality. In fact, that is all my word is made up of. It is a world that perverts my holy word. They make it read the way they want, not the way the Holy Spirit wrote it. Since when does my word tell you that sin is okay? Do you understand that there is no place in my word telling you that any sin is okay? Sin is sin, whether you categorize it little or big, it is still sin. God said, the world that is coming in for instructions need to see holy, righteous saints that have it together and know the reality of life and in all of its phases. So are you wondering why you're going through so many different things? God is letting you experience a lot of things so that you can minister to the lost or coming into the house of God. God said they do not need to see a mixture of truth and false. They have lived that scenario far too long now. It is either black or it is white. No mixture. All right? I know some of us are going through many things we never dreamed of that we'd ever go through. But we're going through them. I used to say, God, why am I going through this? But I quit that because I know why now. Because that's the type of people that I'm going to be ministering to. And I had to know firsthand what it was all about so I could minister in truth. All right? Now, I never did drugs. I didn't smoke or didn't drink. Don't go out and do all that. Say, well, I got to do this so I know what it's all about. Don't do that. It's other. Because I think somebody knows, somebody said they had to go into bars and drink and carouse with the men because God wanted them to do that. No, he didn't. That was a desire of their heart. All right, God says, reality, children, you were once a sinner, and the lost need to understand that. You know, they need to know that they can attain the holy, righteous walk that my word speaks about. They need to understand that I am a loving, forgiving Father that loves all of his creation, not just some. So this God said, reality, children, this is reality. You were once a sinner, and the lost need to understand that. The Bible says, forget not from whence you came. In other words, quit trying to make the lost believe that you're some saint that never did anything wrong, because you'll never win them. Because when they're in a pit, they feel like they can never get to where you're at in that high realm. All right? So we have to be honest. We have to be real with people. We have to be down to earth with people so they can understand what walking with God's all about, and they can understand that you made it, they can make it too. All right, if you're trying to walk flawless, you're gonna boomerang right back into your own self, because we are not flawless. And whenever you think you're flawless, it's really going to blow your mind. You find out you're not. I'll never do that. Don't ever say that. Because about the time you say, I'll never do that, what do? You do that thing, right? All right. So God said, they need to understand that I am a loving, forgiving Father that loves all of his creation, not just some. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He didn't say 95% have sinned. He said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. See that? The natural person can't understand what you're trying to tell them. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right, you can understand spiritual things, but a lost person cannot. They think you're out here in Ozo land. They think they're right and you're wrong is what it amounts to. And you have to prove to them that you're right and they're wrong. And you do that by walking with God and being in his presence, talking to him, then acting like him. All right? God went on to say, children of light, children of the light, you must be a true light for all the darkness to see, and you must walk in the precepts I have placed before you. Why? So you can be a true witness to all the lost and dying. You have to follow all these steps if you're going to be real. You have to follow all these steps if you're going to expect to win the lost to Christ. And you know, whenever God says the auditoriums are going to be full that we'll be ministering to, you're going to be so full of the glory of God that glory is just going to emanate right out onto the people. And see, because you're so full of the glory of God, you will be just like Jesus, and they'll just be drawn to that light that's coming off of you. Because from what God's been saying, there's no way we're going to be able to minister to everybody one-on-one. It's going to be such an influx of lost souls. So you're going to have to be walking holy and righteous so that the glory of God can find a home in you. All right? Come on. God spoke to me early this morning. He said, I'm going to be posting it somewhere somehow. But he said it. The homes are going to be houses of refuge, homes of refuge. And he's going to send people to these homes, and these homes are supposed to minister love and grace to them so that they can be saved. He said the ones he's going to send to the homes are going to be hard people, and they are going to need one-on-one encounters, and that's how God's going to save them. I'll get that out. I just got it this morning, and it's sitting in my computer. But I thought that was neat. You know, as a, he said, just like the churches are houses of refuge, now our homes are going to be straightened out by God, and that, then they're going to become homes of refuge. Isn't that awesome? Where am I at? The body of Christ. The body must become real. What is true reality? 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 1. It says, about the times and the seasons, brothers, you do not need anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction comes on them, like labor pains come on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in the dark, talking to y'all, for this day to overtake you like a thief. In other words, you know that you're going to have yourself already all prepared for when Jesus comes a second time. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. This is the truth, okay? This is reality. So then we must not sleep like the rest, but we must stay awake and be serious. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, we must be serious and put the armor of faith and love on our chest and put on a helmet of the hope of salvation. Let's stop there and let's go back to verse 4. It says, talking to the church now, but you, brothers, are not in the dark for this day to overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. In other words, we don't belong to sin. All right? So then we must not sleep like the rest, but we must stay awake and be serious. In other words, we need to keep our minds on Christ and be doing the works of the Father instead of playing around. Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. In other words, sin always happens at night, most usually. I've noticed people who are in sin start 12 o'clock, they're up and they're running. They're in and out, up and down, around about, all night long. As soon as it breaks day, they're in and in bed. But they do their sinning at night. In verse 8, but since we belong to the day, or to the light, we must be serious and put the armor of faith and the love on our hearts and put on a helmet of the hope of salvation. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. The body, he's talking to the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs worked with also. We need to be encouraged. We need to be uplifted. We need grace. We need love before we can give it to the world. So when we see a brother down, what do? We pray for them. We lift them up. We send them words of encouragement. We don't kick them while they're down. In verse 12, now we ask you, brothers, to give recognition to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. In other words, if you have a pastor over you, that's what they're talking about. And we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are irresponsible, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Now, this is being real. Verse 15, see to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit, don't despise prophecies, but test all things, hold on to what is good, stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. You need to become real with yourself first. You need to sit down and just talk to yourself. Self, where are you at? Then you need to be... You need to be honest with yourself about the way you think, about the way you react to different situations, about every aspect of your walk with God. And you need to be honest? Does it line up with what God has been teaching us? You know, or is there some areas of your life that you're still not perfected, that you still have not gotten the isms out of yet? God wants us to be renewed in our mind and in our spirit. He wants us to understand that if we're not real with ourselves and with the Word, get in the Word and see, you know, this is not a storybook. This is a book of war. From front to back, it was about one battle after another. And if you really read through it, there's a whole lot of bad stuff in there that happened. But it's life. It's, if you look at it, isn't the way we're living today? Isn't what's in the Word what we're living? This is why God wrote the Word, so that we could take it and live it and understand that no matter what Satan sends our way, we can make it. The Bible said that he makes way for every temptation, doesn't he? Escape for every temptation. So don't tell me that you can't get out of something because you can. The problem is your mind. You have to tell your mind, we don't do that no more, mind. I now have the mind of Christ. And so the mind of Christ wouldn't think that way. And we're not going to do that no more. And you have to keep telling your, I've done this. I have to keep telling my mind over and over again, no, I have the mind of Christ, and I don't do that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. Are you understanding this? I don't know what's going on in your mind. You know what's going on in your mind. So are you taking control of what's going on in your mind? Are you putting it under to subjection to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in here and renew your mind? If you let it in your mind, it's going to go down into your heart. Remember one time Perry Stone said he choked one time. There was a thought come to his mind. He kept choking he wouldn't let it go from his mind to his heart. And finally it left. But he had to do the work to keep that from going down into his heart. There's a job you have to do. I know people don't want to work. They just want to just come in, sit in the house of God, and let God perform miracle after miracle. But that isn't the way it works. I wouldn't want him to do that. Really, I wouldn't. I would be one lazy person, and I wouldn't be any good for him. Because if I can't stand a battle, then he can't use me. Now, the question you should be asking yourself, am I a true warrior for Christ? Can he really trust me in a big battle? Or am I going to turn tail and run or lay down and sleep? You have to ask yourself that. And if you're wanting God to use you, then you're going to have to be a warrior. You're just going to have to fight. And I'm surprised that people nowadays are in battles, and instead of them fighting through it, they quit. Quit God. First of all, they just quit. Next thing you know, they're quitting God. Because after all, God didn't show up and didn't do what he said he would do. Did you ever think that might be a test of loyalty? If God doesn't show up, you know, is that going to throw you in a loop? Or are you going to say, well, God, I say, well, God, you know all things. Let me in on a secret. I mean, sometimes, you know, things go on and on and on, don't they? Then you like to, I said, please let me in on the secret. But he never does. But eventually he works it out the way he said he would. We need patience like we've never needed before. But the mightiest thing we need is to become real. When I was first born again, I just thought everybody in the church was going to love me. Didn't you feel like that? You weren't going to have any backbiting or, you know, it was just going to be just a bed of roses. Well, you all went through it too when you got in the house of God and you were there a couple months, you found it. That isn't the way it works. It's worse in the church than it is in the world, right? And the closer you get to God, the more people come turn against you. So have you become real with that, to understand that some people are going to reject you because of your walk with God? Because they're not going to understand you. Carnal people's minds can't understand spiritual things, and that which God just told us. So are you ready to be rejected? See, God right now is picking out his army. And he's checking out your heart this morning for you. What are you going to do when a really bad adverse situation comes into your life? Are you going to fall apart? or are you going to trust God? You know, people write me and they want, you know, ask me to pray about something, and I keep it on my email, and they're, you know, I just keep going back to it a couple times a day. And I know the people on the other end think, is she ever going to answer? But I can't answer until God speaks. Then God speak at the most awkward moment. I had to run to the computer and write down what he has to say for them. But see, what are they doing while they're waiting, you know? Are they standing in faith? Are they knowing that I really am listening for the voice of God to hear? Because you don't know, you know, I don't know what you need to hear, but God knows what you need to hear. I know what you wrote, and I'm not going to put my 2 cents into that. You need God's 100% investment into everything in your life. So please don't lose heart if somebody doesn't give you, if God doesn't give you the answer right away, because that's who gives you the answer. Your faith might be being tested. And how strong is your faith? And God says, has asked me to ask you right now, how many battles have you run from because you didn't think you could win them? That your mind's so programmed at losing that you just go and keep on running, not trusting and believing God that he can win that battle for you. It's time we did a switch. We turn around, put all of our trust in God instead of in man. Put all of our trust in God and just follow him 100%. And God's telling me to tell you that he's not going to tell you the road's going to be bright before you, because it's not. There's still going to be, you know, dark spots in the road, but he'll be with you in the good times and the bad times. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. You have friends that when everything's going good, they're right there, right? But let something bad be going on, but you don't know where they're at because they don't want to be involved. You might ask him for something, a favor or something, right? Seeing God's not like that. He's with you in the good time and the bad times. But he's been, and I'm so excited about the praise and worship, because you really, I could feel the joy behind me. I could feel you had that from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. The floor was vibrating with joy. And see, so you're getting that joy down in your spirit. And the enemy's not going to be able to destroy you. He really isn't. And see, God was checking you all out this morning too, because he told me, he said, I'm watching my people now again, and I'm looking for those I can truly use. So are you one of those he can truly use? It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It really doesn't. Every one of us could write a book about the bad things that happened in our life. Everyone in this room. Jesus wrote a book. The Holy Spirit dictated it. So why don't we just move on? You can't go back and change your past. But you can live a good future before you. You can walk in the light, and you can be a light and not walk in the dark any longer. All right. And Mary, still, God will say unto you this day, I am that I am. And I will always be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, little one. And right now the battles are really rough. But I'm here to forewarn you, little one, they're going to become rougher still. But I want you to build up your most holy faith. I want you to stay the course at all costs. Be like my son Jesus. Never waver, little one. And I know that you're just human, daughter, and I see your tears and I hear your words, but I am not condemning you for that. I'm just encouraging this day to keep going. And daughter, I want to tell you right now, it's a lonely walk right now, but it won't always be a lonely walk. Excuse me. I am going to place those around about you who will hold your hand. And when you're weary, they'll lift your hands high, and you'll be able to go on. The truth is the truth, little one, and you're seeing the truth played out all around about you every day. But you just keep walking with me. The road's rough, I know, and I know the road is long. But, daughter, you are my child, and you're the vessel that I chose to work through. Be like my son Paul, and fight the good fight of faith, and keep going. I will strengthen you. I will not allow you to fall. And my love is sufficient, little one. My love is secure, and my love is everlasting. Just trust me this day. I know everything you're thinking before you ever say it, and I am working on your behalf, and I promise you, you will see the light at the end of the tunnel. I promise. your ministry is going to blossom. It's going to grow. Overnight, it's going to blossom and grow. And you will do all the great exploits that I have promised you in the words I spoke to you before this day. Chin up. Go forward with a smile on your face. Don't ever let the devil see you down or defeated. Get up in his face and tell him he can do nothing to you, because I have told him, leave her alone. He's still going to come and harass, but he already knows his orders and he cannot touch you, so you keep on walking. Thank you, Father. That's another thing you have to know. The devil's going to come at you and try to destroy you, and you have to stand on the words that God has promised you. And really, if you walk close enough with God, he'll tell you beforehand how the enemy's going to attack you. He'll tell you exactly what he's going to do to you, and then he'll tell you how it's going to turn out too. So see, we need that. We need that little roadmap so that when the enemy comes, we know how he's going to come and what he's going to do. But then we also know the outcome of everything. All right, the enemy's come at me 3 different times. I've seen him personally. Tell me what he was going to do, but God gave me a promise. He's going to do everything. He's going to turn you every which way but loose, but he's not allowed to kill you. And he did that, and he's still doing that. But he can't kill me. He couldn't kill. He did a lot of things to Jesus, did he not? But he couldn't kill Jesus, could he? Jesus said, at any second, I can call legions of angels down. But he didn't, did he? And we can do the very same thing. Now, God's asking you, are you up for the grueling task that lies before America? Are you a strong tower that I can use to bring the lost into my houses of worship and praise? Are you a person that I can call a true leader, one that will not back down when the enemy confronts you face to face? Because I need strong towers. I need those who are faithful and are true.